Thanks, Mel. That was so good. Well, good afternoon. So as Maria said, we're talking about let's be encouraged during the month of June. And so I'll be just wanting to explore a bit of an idea with you this afternoon on how we encourage one another, but specifically bearing one another's burdens, which is a phrase that comes out of Galatians in chapter 6. So if you want to turn with me there, but I'm actually going to backtrack a little bit. We're going to read a bit of a longer passage this afternoon because I want to put it in context, and that'll make sense as we work through it. So we're going to start actually in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour. For each will have to bear his own load. Okay, so when we think about encouragement, it's another one of those, you know, nice Christian words. It feels good to encourage one another, you know. And Mel shared how important it is that we do that we exhort one another onwards and upwards. But here Paul's talking about something a little bit bigger than that as well. That encouragement is not just helping us, you know, feel good and move along with the day. Encouragement is in the context of living by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's in the context of someone caught in transgression. So it's encouragement when things aren't always going right. And it's encouragement that involves me also watching my own heart and making sure I don't fall into the same thing. So let's step through this from the start of Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to start with the first word. But don't worry, we'll get through. My Bible says brothers. Chapter 6, verse 1, the first word, brothers, and in the footnote, it's brothers and sisters. So the word encompasses the whole of the Christian community. We're in this together. Living the life of a Christian, living in obedience to Jesus means living in a community. You know, right back at the beginning in Genesis, God made Adam and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he made Eve and they became a community and we're living together. So we are created for community. And, you know, when we go it alone, Living rightly and growing and cultivating the fruit of the Spirit is very hard, if not impossible. You can think of the illustration of fire, right? Because fire begets fire. If you imagine a fireplace, and you might have heard this illustration before, what happens when you take one coal or one bit of wood out of that big fire and put it out on its own? It'll die down and the fire will die, but together the fire feeds itself. And that's the way encouragement works in Christian community. We're like little fires building on one another. But encouragement goes two ways, right? Encouragement requires at least one person to be an encourager, but it also requires someone else who is willing to be encouraged. Are we willing to let people in and encourage us? Are we willing to let them see the real us, the hurting us, the vulnerable person that needs encouragement? You know, last weekend I was in Melbourne at a bookseller's conference for my work, and at one of the things they had Noni Hazelhurst, a great Australian actor. In fact, she was on Play School, I think, when I was a kid, which is one of the things she's most famous for, but she's done many other things since then. And she's got her memoirs coming out, and she gave a bit of a talk. And she talked about how, as an actor, she spent a long time being very good at acting, but not really sure who she was. It took her a long time to figure out who she was because she was always portraying someone else. And she talked about that mask, you know, how we always have this mask, but who is the real us? And, you know, when we live with that mask, we make it very difficult to both to be an authentic encourager, but more than that, we make it very difficult to receive encouragement back. How can we receive encouragement if we won't let anyone in? You know, and sometimes we live with things longer than we should because we're afraid to let anyone in. You know, we're afraid that if someone saw the real me, you know, no one would like me anymore. But, you know, the truth is we're all a mess in one way or another. So when Paul says, brothers and sisters, it means that this issue of encouragement, of bearing one another's burdens, is an appeal to be in it together. So brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So he's putting bearing one another's burdens in the context of failure. And the reason that I wanted to go back and read from Galatians 5 is that we see the type of failure or success that Paul is talking about. You know, he lists a very long list of this is what it looks like when you live in the flesh. And it's a pretty, you know, long, chaotic kind of list. And it means that the encouragement that Paul's talking about is the encouragement to spur one another on to keep in step with the Spirit. Spur one another on to not let yourself fall into the flesh, but to enjoy the peace, love, joy, patience, and so on. But it's also, you know, acknowledging that things do go wrong. None of us live perfectly. So when he says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, caught is interesting. It's not that I caught you or that you caught me. as much as we like to catch people out sometimes. When Paul says caught, it means like accidentally fallen into, taken by surprise, overtaken or entrapped. Do you see the kindness of God in it being expressed that way? You know, he recognizes that we do sometimes get overtaken. You know, we don't generally set out to live that life that Paul described as the works of the flesh. You know, we don't set out to live in fits of anger or jealousy or envy. But we do get caught in it sometimes as we take our eyes off Jesus. You know, as we, you know, live out of our woundedness or perhaps just immaturity. Or perhaps when someone does something to us, some kind of injustice. So why does that matter when we're talking about encouraging one another? Well, notice that in both of those lists, the works of the flesh and largely the fruit of the Spirit, that none of those things are solo activities. They're almost all relational. If we're talking about, you know, envy, I'm typically envious of somebody. If I'm, you know, in fits of anger, I'm angry at somebody. It's all relational language about how we interact with one another. You know, if someone has fallen into a fit of anger, as Paul says, then they could be angry at or just around you. You know, or you might be the unwitting target of somebody's anger. You know, have you ever gotten home to find your husband, wife, brother, sister, mum, dad, child, friend in a bad mood? How do you respond? Have you ever said something, perhaps innocently, that triggered someone else and they got really angry? People fall or get trapped into those kind of fleshly responses all the time. Anger, lust, envy. Do you ever catch yourself comparing your life to others? Yeah, and when we do get caught by that, it affects how we interact with those we love. It's a very simple example of this. Last week, I was at work and I got this email from one of our big customers, the State Library of Western Australia. And what they do every financial year about this time is they send me an email and say, here's your list of public libraries you're going to be working with for the new financial year. And I got that email, got the list, and it was missing our biggest one that we've worked with for years and have a great relationship with, and would be a disaster if we didn't have them. And I got that email and I thought, oh no, what's gone wrong? And I could feel my heart, you know, falling into fear. And I felt like God spoke to me in that moment and said, don't worry, it's okay. This is just an administrative error. It'll be okay. Everything's fine. But my heart just had trouble hearing that. And I knew that in that moment, I could not interact with any of my staff. So I left the building for a little while. And in the end, I got an email back, and sure enough, oh yeah, I filtered the spreadsheet wrong. Here you go. And it was all fine. So here's another lesson. God is always right. But you know, when we fall into that fleshly response, we stop ourselves from interacting with, you know, love and gentleness and patience with other people. So the big question is, when someone around us falls into that, do we fall with them? You know, Paul says, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself. So do we fall with them, or do we keep in step with the Spirit, using the language from Galatians 5, so that we can encourage them back to a place of peace and joy? So Paul's exhortation through this whole section is for the whole community to be living in step with the Spirit. And if one of us falls short, we need to encourage each other to come back. So, he says, restore in a spirit of gentleness and keep watch on ourselves. How do we do that? Easier said than done sometimes. So it's one thing, and this is important too. Like, you know, Mel just described how Toe dropped in on Friday night and caught up with us and encouraged us. And that was great, and we needed that. That's one thing. It's another thing to have someone who's fallen into, let's go with anger, because it's easy to relate to and describe, someone who's angry, maybe at you, maybe not at you, but they're in your face. How do we respond there in that situation with love and peace and joy without falling into it ourselves? A few weeks ago, and I got permission to share this story, just so you know. I think it was a Saturday, and we were at home, and Mel started doing some cleaning through the house, and I can't even remember what was going on now, but she was getting increasingly cranky as the morning went on. And after a little while, I started to get cranky with Mel being cranky. You see, that's the fall. That's the you know, someone's fallen into it, and I'm falling with her. And in the end, I stopped her and I tried rebuking her, and I was totally right. It didn't go very well. And then I headed out because the girls had basketball. So I was driving out, and it was still kind of, you know, playing around in my head, and I'm praying about it. And God just speaks to me very directly but gently and says, "That wasn't gentle." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, Lord. Yeah, I see that. You're right." And then I could come, you know, but then I could come back when we came back home and share that with Mel and apologize, and then that, you know, melts her, and then we've exhorted each other to come back to Jesus. So the only way that we can encourage our brothers and sisters when they're saying hurtful or untrue things to us or just being cranky, we can only do that by keeping a watch on our own heart, by knowing that the warning signs in our own heart and mind, we know when we're falling into fear or anger or whatever, and just choosing to act in the opposite spirit. We have a lot more agency in that than we think. Sometimes it feels like we have no control over ourselves, but we really have a lot more control than we think. One of the fruit of the Spirit, right, is self-control. And it really helps if we can keep in the back of our mind that when someone we love is falling into that place, or just someone around us, that they're, like Paul says, they're entrapped, they've been caught. There's something else behind the behavior. It sometimes feels like it's directed right at us, but it's often actually not. There's often a lot more to it. There's something else going on. You know, we need to really believe what Paul says in Ephesians, where he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not the real battle. Proverbs 15:2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I mean, I've already told you that story from the other day, and that kind of illustrates it. And we've found that, you know, quite often in our marriage, and you know, both ways. If one of us is having a hard day and the other one responds with gentleness, it makes all the difference. But if we respond harshly, it stirs it up and it becomes something bigger than it needs to be. And much harder to then come back down than from being gentle at the start. So we can shortcut arguments by remembering this and being gentle. We need to keep our eyes always on Jesus. You know, later on in verse 5, Paul says that each will have to bear his own load. In other words, Jesus holds each of us accountable for our behavior, regardless of others' bad behavior. It doesn't mean that people get to abuse us and you know, there's never a time to stand up for what's right. You know, there are times for those things. But it does mean in these kind of day-to-day situations that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we can see beyond someone's immediate response to a situation. And we can see what God's doing and not just how we feel with someone coming at us. It needs us to really intentionally pursue maturity, which looks like getting our joy, our peace, our identity from Jesus. Because if I know my peace comes from Jesus, then you can't take it away from me. And I can be in a place of gently restoring you when you're having trouble, and you for me. So we all fail and fall down, but Paul is urging us not to settle for that, to be a community that pursues Jesus, and in pursuing Jesus, that we spur each other on to an abundant life in the Spirit. So what does it actually mean to bear one another's burdens? Well, here's my kind of rough working definition that I've come up with based on what we've just talked about. I think it means to live in acceptance of the consequences of someone else's sin, continuing to love and bless. So when someone else is falling into that fleshly place and it's affecting us, I'm saying, okay, I will live with the consequences of that, and I will love you and bless you anyway. It's kind of like what Jesus did, right? He accepted the journey to the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he says, bear one another's burdens, in verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So he brings it back to Jesus. You know, what's the law of Christ? Well, I think it's, you know, forgive as you've been forgiven, to love as you've been loved. You know, I know that I've been forgiven a lot and I've been loved a lot. And when I remember that, then my capacity for loving and forgiving the people around me is greater. Jesus bore all of our sins on the cross, right? So we don't have to bear that. He's already done that. But we can bear with one another, blessing when others curse, gently leading people back. Encouragement can also be simple. It doesn't have to be a brother or sister in a big sin. Mel shared about Toe the other night. I remember a time also some months ago when I was going through a bit of a hard week in the business, and I was chatting with Rodney in the service, and he prayed with me. And I remember he prayed, I can't remember the exact words, but he actually started laughing about just how hard business is. And it was exactly the encouragement that I needed and enabled me to then laugh and experience joy again. We don't have to wait till trouble hits to encourage one another. Lately, we've got a family WhatsApp group chat, and Mel's been putting verses up every few days. And it's just such an encouragement to get that in the morning when I'm at work, and a reminder that, you know, God is God and Jesus is alive. So, to wrap this up, the list Paul gives of spiritual fruit, right, sounds pretty ideal. Love, joy, peace. You know, who wouldn't want more of that? Well, Paul's exhortation is to pursue that together, encouraging one another, bearing one another's burdens, and helping everyone to come to maturity and to enjoy the incredible blessings that God gives us in Jesus. So, can I invite the worship team to come back up? Let me pray while they're coming up. So, Father, we do thank you for the amazing, abundant life that you give us in Jesus. That you do offer us peace and joy and love, and you give us one another. So, Lord, would you come by your Spirit now, and would you just give us the courage to recognize and let go of our masks, to let you be the one who gives us our identity, and to give us the courage to open up to one another and receive and give encouragement to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Simon. As we sing this next song, you know, the Israelites were great at encouraging one another, at reminding each other, you know, how great God is.